Welcome to Scaling Wellness, the podcast that will give you all the tools you need to grow your wellness business and thrive in the online space. I'm your host, Caroline Kopp, Pilates teacher and health coach, turned business mentor for wellness experts, teachers and coaches just like you. This is the podcast where we uncover the strategies, stories and tools to help you to scale your wellness business, build impactful digital products and create the time, money and freedom that you crave. If you're ready to grow your online presence, make a bigger impact with your clients and in the wellness industry, and uncap your revenue, you are in the right place. Let's dive in. Hello there, and welcome back to this week's episode of Scaling Wellness. And I'm really excited because this week I am joined by Rebecca Hayden. Rebecca is a subconscious business mentor and an NLP trainer, and most importantly, she is my old coach. I worked with Rebecca for a long time, about a year ago, wasn't it? And so I'm really excited to have her here because I know the wisdom, I know the knowledge that she's going to share, and she's fabulous. So welcome.
Thank you. I had little goosebumps then when you went.
Thank you.
We had a little chat before recording this, and it's like, we have to stop talking now. Let's get on with the recording. Tell us who you work with. Like, tell us a little bit about your business, who you work with, why people come to you, what sort of people you help.
Yep. So I have two businesses. So I have the Subconscious Institute, which is my NLP qualification institute. NLP, for those who don't know, is a modality of mindset, subconscious work. It stands for neuro-linguistic programming. So I basically qualify people to be able to then go and do it with their clients, which is the most incredible ripple effect, because it's, you know, one of my favorite things and tools that I use every single day and have done since 2019. So to be able to like pass on the knowledge and like the power that NLP is, and I'm sure we'll kind of talk about that today, is really incredible. So that's kind of one side. And then my Rebecca Hayden side is where I work with female entrepreneurs to basically get out of their own way. If we look at it very, very simply, I work with the subconscious behind your business. So rather than focusing solely on your strategy, for me, it's very much, how do we create safety in your subconscious, in how you show up, in your behaviors, in your actions, in your identity, to be able to get you to where you want to be from a business perspective. But to be honest, everyone's lives change when they work with me, not just business.
They do. Testament to that. I think I love what you say about I help people get out of their own way, because actually, everything else is like, yeah, okay, I kind of get mindset, I get subconscious, like I get it, but it doesn't really speak to me. But what really speaks to me is when you say about, you know, you're basically sabotaging your own success.
Right now, yes.
And that's exactly where I was when I first started working with you. So what are the, like, okay, let's go back first. Talk to me about how you came into this work. Like, where did you come from? What was your background?
So I was a performing artist. That's what I did as a career. And I did it. I wanted to do it since I was 4 years old. I remember being on the playground being like, do you not know what you want to do when you grow up? That was it for me. I went into the performing arts industry. I worked professionally. I did musicals and had an agent and all of that juicy, cool stuff where everyone goes, wow, that's amazing. But it wasn't as amazing on the back end, because actually, mentally, it was the hardest thing ever. You know, the rejection, the constant beration, the how you look, how you sing, how you act, everything was just like a huge judgment. And I actually ended up leaving the industry because my mental health got so bad. But during that time, I started to look at The Secret and like other modalities that I was like, okay, there's got to be some way that I can help my own mind get better at this. And I kind of started looking into it. I went and taught dance because I was a little bit like, I don't really know what I want. And I was like, what can I do with this information? And I actually started blogging like back every Sunday back in 2019. And I would blog and blog just about all the things that I'd learned. And so many people were messaging me being like, oh my God, Beck, I tried this technique. That was really good. And oh, wow, like that really made sense. Thank you for doing that. And I was like, oh, okay. Maybe there's kind of scope in this. And I had just recently moved to Australia. I live in the UK. I'm back in the UK now, but I just recently moved to Australia, which I thought I would be there forever. I kind of went and I was like, right, let's do this. And I started to look at all of the modalities of how I could then help people, you know, further than the blog. And that's when I did my hypnotherapy masters. I did my NLP masters, emotional intelligence, lots of other, you know, modalities that I did. And lo and behold, 5 years, well, 6 years later, here I am. So kind of like come out of the back of something that was so hard for me, to be honest.
Do you look back on your days in performing arts and just think, oh God, if only I knew then what I know now?
Oh, I think I literally did a story on that about, I think it was last week. She was like, if I had the tools that I have now back then, my career would be very different. Because I was very talented. I was very, very good. And I did not believe in myself. I couldn't see the success that everyone else could see. I was so, I wanted it that bad that it would make me that nervous. And you know when someone wants business to succeed that bad and like that you're gripping on so tight? I was very much like that every audition without fail. I was sabotaging left, right and center. I was going home to see my boyfriend because I'd rather do that. Like, you know when you're just like, Beth, come on. It's given me a whole host of things that actually I needed for my business. Confidence, being able to be a very good speaker, the rejection I'm very good at because that's just what we have to do. So it's given me lots of things as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I bet. I love that side of it because it's something before I started working with you, it's something I had never really expected to kind of, it's not a route that I was looking to go down, and I discovered you through a mutual friend, but it gave me more than I thought it would. I thought, okay, I've tried all the strategy, I've done all the stuff, I've read all the books, I've listened to all the podcasts, what haven't I done to make this work? And I think I was your example of someone that was trying so hard. I was really trying, like no one could have accused me of not putting the time in. But I just wasn't getting anywhere. And it was just that I just needed you to kind of unlock whatever it was that was locked up inside me. And I still now, when I look back on when we worked together, I still don't quite know. I can't quite articulate what happened in that 6 months. All I know is that I and my business are completely different. Completely hysterically different to how.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even think. Like, and I still remember the kind of clarity call that we did where you just had a couple of questions about one-to-one. Like, I still remember I was sitting on the wrong desk because the sun was shining. And I don't know whether you remember that. Like, I was sitting behind my fiance's side. And I genuinely think if that version of you saw you now, I still think it now to this day. Like, even when I, like, watch what you're up to and, like, you know, I still cheerlead all of my clients from the side.
You know what we do.
Like, I'm like, she'd fall over.
Yeah.
Not Mona.
Yeah. I mean, the difference is massive. And I really felt like that came, like I say, I'm not quite sure how or what we did specifically, but it was just that there was a lot of like permission that you gave me. There were little things like I can remember talking to you one day and you kind of validated something that I've been really struggling with. I've been really, you know, seeing myself as this kind of expert in my field. And I remember you saying something along the lines of, you know, that you've been in business for 20 years. You are an expert at what you do. And I thought, God, I am. Like, you know, I just needed that. Like, it was like permission slip almost. It was, and there were a few moments like that I can remember during our time together that were just such simple moments, but real light bulb moments, real aha's.
I think we really unlocked your self-belief in what you actually do, I think was the big, like, if we actually look at the nooks and crannies, like, it was what you were doing no longer felt aligned. And it was almost just that, like you said, permission to really dig into what you actually wanted. And then I think the moment that you saw that, you flew and carried on flying.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. It was that permission to go in a different direction.
Yeah.
And like you say, once you unlocked that and once I knew it, it was like, okay, there now this is a moment. Now I can't not do it.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, right, the doors are open. There's no turning back.
And the main trust was there, wasn't there?
Yeah. So what do you see when you start working with other entrepreneurs or small business owners? What do you see most commonly in those people? Are there any particular characteristic or mindset sort of sticky points that you see regularly?
Yeah. So to be honest, a lot of the women that I work with are very driven and they are very ambitious. And more than anything, they are that frustrated that they are still stuck. And I think that's where a lot of people come to work with me, is they're like, okay, perhaps it's me. We get to that point, right?
You're like, okay,
maybe I'm what I need to look at. So when they come in, I see a lot of procrastination. So a lot of, and the thing is that the women that I work with are still very busy. They're still doing things. They're just not doing the things that they know are really going to move the needle or are really going to push the business where they want it to be or really allow them to move into that next level of income or amount of clients or launch, whatever that is. So they're busy and then that's where the frustration comes in, because they're like, I'm doing everything. But actually the belief underneath it or the knowing underneath it is not quite there, which isn't allowing them to step in. So on surface level, a lot of procrastination, a lot of shiny object syndrome. They're like, oh no, I'll just do this one more. This one more thing. Like there's just this one more course. And I know that that's going to crack the code for me. I see a lot. And I think more than anything is the actual fear of success, which no one talks about much. I think we automatically go to the fear of failure, but actually the women that I work with, like failure is not an option. Like they wouldn't allow it. Like, it's like, no, like that's just not who I am. So it's this fear of success of like, can I hold it? Can I have it? Can I have it all? Can I handle it? Can I keep it? I have a lot of that as well.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's the one. That's the one I think for me. And I was exactly your person for this. Actually, you know, there was no option for failure. And just relating it back to my example, because I think it's useful for the audience, is there was no opportunity for failure. I couldn't fail. That wasn't an option. There wasn't a plan B. But it was that idea that, okay, if I ever reach the point that I want to reach, will I be able to, what if I can't do it again? If I can't do it every month? Or what if I get ill? Or what if I get sick? Or what if someone dies? Or, you know, how will I maintain it? You know, it was all these things came up. It's like, why am I worrying about getting ill? Like, that probably won't happen. And if it does, we'll figure it out.
Your brain, you know, your brain, all your subconscious wants to do is keep you safe. And that's why you play the same familiar patterns that you've already played. And even though, you know, logically, like, we can sit here consciously and my clients are like, Beck, I know this isn't serving me. I don't want to be doing this, but I can't stop doing it, you know. And it's because the subconscious wants safety. It wants the familiar. And ironically, business is about risk. It's about pushing your comfort zone. It's about being in the uncomfortable. And I think if you can learn how to hold yourself in the uncomfortable enough to get to that next level, and then we create safety again. And again, we went through like quite a few next levels with you over the 6 months we worked together. You can then start to build, sustain, rather than when a lot of my clients have come to me, they've had this huge, incredible month crash, like this peak and trough, which is no good for your nervous system. It's no good for your business. It's no good for anything, really. You know, it's not sustainable. So for me, it's all about the sustainability of your subconscious, which gives you the sustainability in your business.
Yeah. I did always love that was one part that you talk about. And it's actually something I talk about a lot with my clients, is that stretchiness of your subconscious, that things feel scary and things, you know, you can do, it's okay to be nervous. So you're stretching, you're in a stretch point, and when you get used to it and when this becomes your new normal, there'll be another stretch point. But at the moment, we're
forever and always.
Yeah, always another level. It's there, always. But I see that a lot, and I see the procrastination, that kind of, particularly in the world of wellness, I see the, you just need to do another course, I'll do another point first.
Yeah.
And then I'll just rewrite my website, or I'll get new photos done, or brand. It's like anything but sell. Anything.
It's a very strategic from your subconscious, because like I said, you think you're doing it. You're like, yeah, I'm just going to a website and I'll just go and get this qualification again. Like, well, you know, and then I'll say to my clients, okay, look, well, when was the last time that you actually sold your services? And I'm like, can't even tell me. And I'm like, okay, like, let's have a talk about that.
Yeah,
and this right now is just very clever sabotage.
Yeah, keeping yourself still.
Yeah.
So what is the potential then, do you think? Like, is it really possible to kind of rewire how you see? Well, you know, like, there's the nature nurture thing, isn't there? Like, what are you born with? What can we change? If you're just a natural pessimist or you're naturally cautious, is how much of that is possible to kind of manipulate?
That's a good question. Well, our brains are neuroplastic, so we can change anything, basically. We will sway towards certain things from upbringing, from genetics, etc. But every belief that we've had, as you know, we take on our imprints between the ages of 0 to 7 mostly. There are times when I've worked with clients that, you know, we go back to the age of 21 because it was an emotional time for them. We take limiting beliefs on more so when emotion is really driven behind it. So when we're looking at the subconscious, we can really understand where the belief has come from, what neural pathway is wiring together at that moment. And then we can do work in basically decreasing the old neural pathway and building a new one. And I think more than anything, especially when I talk about hypnotherapy, is a lot of people think that I'm going to wave a magic wand and they won't have to do anything other than listen to my voice.
Yeah.
Not always the case. And as you know, subconscious work is like going to the gym. Like, you have to build the muscle. So if we are creating a new way of living, so if we are going from being a pessimist to an optimist, like, there's a lot of work that we have to do in understanding why you're being the pessimist. What's that keeping you safe from? How is that, like, supporting you currently? And how has it supported you before? Hence why you're currently playing that pattern. And I would say a lot of, like, identity work around that. You know, I am that, you know, that phrase that we hear so well, I'm a procrastinator. Are you, or are you just doing procrastination right now? You know, is it? Where are we with that? So, and then we can have a look at the identity. I'm using this as a example, but I think everyone will resonate. But like, if we have a look at the identity of being an optimist, of like looking at business and being like, of course it will work. Of course it's going to work. That's going to be a very different way for you to behave and think and feel and act day to day. So we have to go down and really understand from like an identity level as well.
Yeah. And I completely agree with you. One of the things that you did for me, which was brilliant, is I had when I was working with you, I'd gone from working on my Pilates membership to pivoting into the online kind of helping other people do the same thing. What I'm doing now, helping people to build wellness products. And one of the things, when I was doing my kind of first launch and I was bringing in my first group of people, I can remember we did a hypnosis, which was around inviting in a particular color or thinking of a particular color. I don't know if you remember this. But one of the things, we decided my color was going to be yellow because I'm a bit of a sunshine yellow person. And so I decided yellow was going to be my color. Now, launching, for anyone listening, launching can be really, really scary and really nerve-wracking. And you don't think anyone's going to join and you're constantly second-guessing. And I remember you saying to me, I want you to use the color as your anchor. Every time your thoughts go to, this isn't going to work, no one's going to join, everybody hates me, I'm rubbish. Every time you go to that, you just think of the color yellow and you find something in the room that's yellow. And I remember being in the gym doing a particular workout. And so I was getting all these kind of negative like thoughts creeping in. And I just remember looking around the room desperately trying to find anything on that. But it really, like, it really worked. It was so simple, but it just, I guess, what was it doing? Just distracting me?
So, I mean, yes, we have what we call a break state. So you're breaking the state of the thoughts. I always say, you know, if you're in a, what I call a spiral, so if you've had a trigger, so something's triggered you, whether it's scrolling on social media, whether it's seeing someone succeed in the way that you want to succeed, whether it's a, you know, an ideal client saying no, whatever you've been triggered with, it kind of all, you almost play the same pattern every time. So the same thoughts, the same feelings, the same actions, the same results, and it kind of happens every time. So what we want to do with that trigger is we want to break the state. And with my clients, I always say, like, imagine me running in a chicken outfit. You would no longer be thinking those thoughts. You would be like, what the hell? Why is Becky here in a chicken outfit? You know, like, we just want to break the state. So for you finding the color yellow, it was this kind of stop gap, this pause, this break the state. And because we'd done anchoring, which is an NLP technique, to find the yellow, and we'd actually put a significant meaning and a belief behind the yellow as well. So subconsciously, when you, we programmed that together, that subconsciously, when you looked at the yellow, you were reminded of a few things that we were working on during that launch. So all of a sudden, your state shifts, the way you think shifts, and everything. You basically are going from the old neural pathway and going, no, no, no. We don't do that anymore. We don't think that anymore. Boom. And then you were into a different feeling, different thoughts, different results.
Oh, I love that. And do you know, I don't even think I'd realized that there was another anchor, that it was taking me to a different, I just see it's distracting me. It's just stopping the thought. But I love the anchor I didn't realize was there. But I find that I use it all the time. Like, I use it if I'm in the gym and I'm doing a particularly difficult set, I'll be like, no, no, yellow, find the yellow.
Say you shifted. Like, you know, so many, I do speak about this a lot, because I think with subconscious work, if you've had, if you've done it before, it can get quite like, oh my God, like, am I finding this? Am I finding that? And that's quite scary to start off with. I get a lot of clients that are like, I don't really want to open Pandora's box. And like, I'm a bit scared of like what we're going to find. But a lot of clients can almost become a little bit addicted to doing all the work and digging and stuff. But actually, with subconscious work, the kind of actions and proof evidence and the stacking that we do in your here and now is as important. So every time you saw the color yellow and you stopped that old thought, that's as important as knowing what that old thought was stopping you from, if that made sense.
Yes. No, it really does. If you were a business owner listening to this, and you were thinking, okay, but just give me the how, like, give me the strategy, tell me what to do and I'll do it. This is something I hear all the time, and actually thoughts that I had many times, like, tell me how I get to 10K months. Just give me the pathway. What would you say to that person?
I would say it's what I call a part. So right now, I don't know whether any of you on here, this is the best way to explain it, has watched Inside Out, the Disney film. If you have, there's little kind of characters that live inside the main characters' brains, and they all have different emotions. They all have different reasons why they act the way they do. And a lot of the time, when someone is like has so much emphasis on the how, it's because the how is actually keeping them safe from doing it. And a lot of the time, people do have the how. They absolutely do. In fact, right now, with the technology that we have, with YouTube, with anything, you could exactly find how you would get to 10K months. It's not the freaking how. We know that. But we get so much from holding on to the how, right? And I think this, I'm referencing the people who have done the courses here. If you have no clue in business, I get it. I understand. But equally, you know, I even called out a client the other day because she was like, well, you know, I'm not sure I know how to plan 6 months in advance. I'm like, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Let's be honest here, right? This is a protection. So when you're looking for the how, it's because you are putting your You're going outwards, right? We're like, what's going to help me to get me to there? What is it going to be? But actually, if we look inside and it's like, who am I? Mm. Who is the version of me who hits 10K months? Mm. How does she feel? How does she show up? How does she move? What action does she take? You'll find the how when you come from that spot. It will happen naturally. That kind of happened with you, didn't it?
Yeah. God, absolutely. I was all about how. And I had to tell myself.
Every moment that you kind of stepped into that person, and I know it sounds for anyone listening, they're like, oh, here she goes again, talking about the energy and blah, blah, blah. But like when you actually focus on the how you are showing up and what that looks like, the opportunities come, the answers come. They are literally in front of you. Your focus is just in the wrong place.
It's one of those.
Yeah, yeah. I completely resonate with that. And, you know, I think a lot of my clients will. I tend to work with a lot of kind of A-types, doers, busy women. Yeah. And then we get a lot of credit, you know, credit from being busy and getting shit done. And so those women aren't often, and I found this with the mindset work, I felt like it was going to slow me down, like it was going to push me back before I could go forwards. But actually it didn't. It did the opposite.
Yeah, it accelerated you, didn't it?
Yeah.
We had into that, the acceleration happened, and you know, you were like, oh okay then.
Yeah, and it blew me. Yeah, it really did. It really put petrol on it. And of course there was, like, you know, a few weeks, you know, maybe 4 or 5 weeks of kind of doing the work, but absolutely it was it got me further faster than I ever could have done on my own. And actually the how really wasn't serving me, because it was holding me, and I was holding on to it. I was so used to being able to get stuff done that I was sort of relying on that part of my personality of just being able to kind of crack this myself. And okay, I'll read all the books, I'll do all the work, I'll make this happen. But it ended up being too. I was holding on too tight.
Yeah, for sure. And like, if you actually, you know, if you actually do that with your body, like if you, I know people are listening rather than watching right now, but like if you squeeze your hands really tight and you squeeze your body and you squeeze your face and you hold on, because that's the energy of the how, isn't it? But like it's coming energy, right? You are so closed off. Yeah. Like you are, like, genuinely your body is so closed off, and you know, our physiology affects our psychology and vice versa. So actually it's like, well, I'm gonna let the freaking how come to me, because I believe in this, of course it's gonna happen. And actually bring it. Come on, show me how. Like, let the how come to you, rather than holding so tightly that you literally just go around in circles, again, looking for the next course that you think is going to be the one.
Yeah. And I think what that does really nicely is it opens up that opportunity for you to be a bit brave and to try to put things.
Yes.
And, you know, take you off of the path that isn't working, and actually just kind of push you down a path that we may not have done otherwise.
Yeah.
Be a bit bolder, be a bit braver, because you care less about how.
Exactly. And I think, like, with everything, of course, we want strategy and we want to be intentional. And I teach that. I do that in the business. You know, I help people grow their business as well as their subconscious. But actually, I don't know how the last person found me, you know, like I didn't know that you were going to find me on the exact day that you found me, or that you spoke to that one person who had worked with me before. And yes, I'm doing things intentionally, but I can't control that. I can't control find it. Like, I can't control the exact moment of the exact day that you are going to come to find me. That happens very naturally. And I think the more you can allow that flow, the more magic it is.
Yeah. I love that as an example, actually, that you can't always control the how. We feel like we can, don't we? We think, oh, just do the how.
Yeah.
Just get on with it. But actually, it's right. If with people finding you can't control everybody's how.
So no. Exactly. You can put the foundations in, of course, and, you know, sell and speak to your ideal client in the exact right way and all of those things. But actually, I think that when we talk about the how, it's, people aren't even thinking about the strategy. I don't think they're literally just like, it's so big that, but how is it going to happen? That's, you know, like we almost don't need to, and if we didn't know that, life would be so boring.
Yes, Sarah, very true. It's very, very true.
It was every single time.
We're quite right. I think we've covered it, but I just wanted to kind of spend just the last couple of minutes just talking about what kind of, benefit or what kind of outcomes you see when you work with people? Like, I think we've covered a bit of it, but what are the real benefits to anyone looking to go down this route and work on their mindset?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, your business does change, yes. Like that happens naturally. But it's really weird because it's always the byproduct of the work that we do. I think like there's a lot of the times where because you're doing the subconscious work and everything, the way you do one thing is the way that you do everything, and everything has a mirror, like a kind of domino effect. It's how you're showing up. Like, I know this sounds, and I obviously don't talk about this in my marketing because this would not sell, but like you are happier, you wake up less stressed, you're not so in that scarcity energy, you know it's going to happen. And I think like that alone makes you show up to your business differently. The trust, the belief, you know, all those two mostly, to be honest. If you look at the biggest people in whatever industry it is, they're probably not doing anything really differently strategic-wise, right? But what do they have? They have belief in themselves and they have trust that it's going to happen. And that is your subconscious. And that's what I give people, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. And I absolutely love that as an outcome, because I think I remember having a conversation with you and you were saying about, you know, what do you want for the next 12 months? What do we want the outcomes to be? And I remember kind of quoting this kind of ballpark number of, you know, what I'd like to earn in the next 12 months. And then I remember saying to you, but I don't think I'll get there. And you asked me why. And it came out that the reason I didn't think I would get there was because I didn't want to go VAT registered, because I was worried about them in VAT. So it was like this subconscious block that was holding me back. Like, okay, we can skip and jump over the VAT threshold. There's anything. Suddenly it felt like, okay, so it's possible.
Yeah.
I can get there. So you're right. It's about that, like, you know, having those goals, but really believing them.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I ever did. I'd make a vision board and I never really believed any of it.
No. And I think that's the thing, you know, I see so often people put these goals in and then you don't hit them and then you start to blame yourself and you're like, well, maybe it's me and maybe it's something that I'm doing. But actually, if we just had the subconscious foundation that made you go, like I say, of course, like how many times did I go, of course this has happened, like, of course, you know, it's obvious that this is going to happen for you because of the subconscious foundation and belief and trust that you have. Like your first launch, oh my God, like I genuinely remember you kept messaging me and another one. And I was like, I'm torn. Like, of course, you know, because you've got that belief underneath you, that trust, that kind of knowing that it is. And of course, then it happens. So yeah, I just think I know, again, it's so untangible, but if you actually look at the people who are successful, it is that belief. It's the belief and the trust in themselves that, like, of course it's going to happen.
Yes. Yeah. I get that. I really get that. And I really feel like you've given that to everyone you work with, I think. So I'm very grateful to you. Tell us that, to finish off, how can people work with you? Like, if someone's listening to this and they have a business, what are their options? What can they do with you, and speak to the NLP school as well as your coaching?
Yeah. So if you want a bit of a taste, I have the subconscious membership. So that is my monthly membership. We have hypnosis, visualization, private podcasts, live Q&As, like subconscious Q&As. That's kind of, if you want a taste, I would go in there. I've got quite a few other kind of passive hypnosis tracks and things like that. It's all on my Instagram. One-to-one is my baby. It's where most of the magic happens, because subconscious work is just, it is so much more powerful when you're in that person's business with them. So that all the information's on my Instagram, Rebecca Hayden. And if you're looking to kind of add, I have a lot of wellness people actually add NLP to their kind of tool belt, actually. So NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, it is the practitioner qualification and the master's, and it will basically just give you the tools with your clients to, you know, actually do the thing.
Yeah.
And people say they're going to do it and then they don't do it, and you have the same conversation again and again and again, and you're like, is it me as the coach, or what's going on? It actually gives you everything that we've spoken about today in the way of like the understanding of the subconscious and how we use language and programming to really change a client's life, really. So yeah.
I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be interested in that, because so often we're talking about, you know, like you say, you can get every kind of training program on ChatGPT, but what we can't get is that support, which is what people are doing in their group programs, is supporting their clients.
Yeah.
You can't do the stuff for them, like you can't do their press ups, but you can figure out a way to help them. And I think NLP is going to be potentially a big part of how people move their clients through these transformations. So I love that. So if anyone is looking to work with Bec, I'm going to pop her details in the show notes. So feel free to check that out. Thank you so much for today. I really appreciate it. I think that's going to be really, really useful. And it's just been lovely to spend half an hour.
You too. I know. I missed you.
Thanks so much, Bec.
So thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to Scaling Wellness. If you found today's episode valuable, I'd love to hear from you. Connect with me over on Instagram at Caroline Kopp and drop me a DM and let me know what your biggest takeaway was. Or if you know a friend or colleague in wellness who would find this podcast useful, I'd love you to share this episode with them or maybe tag it in your socials. It might be just what they need to hear today as well. And finally, if you are enjoying the podcast, don't forget, please rate and review. It helps more wellness professionals like you to discover the show and ultimately allows us as a community to grow the wellness message and help more people. So until next time, remember, the problem you solve for your clients still exists. So keep sharing your wellness message.